It's the Kim Munson Show.
The Washington Times said that patriotic Americans donated U.S. flags after protesters raised the Mexican flag over the ICE facility.
Analyzing the most important stories.
It is not fair that people come in illegally and they have three square meals a day, TVs and all. There's something that is wrong with this picture.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
When we get into conversations with people, you can get real bombastic with each other because you haven't read it. You don't know what you're talking about.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
So if you understand the issue, then you can have calm, reasonable conversations.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show, and happy Thanksgiving to each and every one of you out there. I am so grateful for you. You're treasured, you're valued, you have purpose. Today, strive for excellence and take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And I am grateful for many, many things, my family, opportunity, our home, America, liberty, freedom, and also grateful to this great team that I get to work with, and that is producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. And happy Thanksgiving Day to you on this Thanksgiving Day broadcast, producer Steve.
Well, thank you for that. Can we also throw the listeners or add the listeners to that list?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are blessed. And I know that I appreciate each and every one of you for letting people know about us as well. I know listenership continues to grow and we appreciate that. And I guess I should also say all these great partners that I get to work with as well. So be sure and check out my website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. And really excited, we're going to be talking with an expert on Lincoln, Harold Hosler. As we think about Lincoln on this Thanksgiving Day, it was Lincoln in 1863 that issued the Thanksgiving Day Proclamation. And of course, on November 19th, just prior to that, is the anniversary of the Gettysburg Address. And so anyway, it's going to be a really, really great show. But as I was going through the different quotes by Lincoln, I found this one, Steve, and I thought it was really interesting. Of course, Abraham Lincoln was a lawyer and a statesman. He was our 16th president. He was born in 1809, died in 1865. And he said this. He said, "We can complain because rose bushes have thorns, or rejoice because thorn bushes have roses." Is that not amazing?
That is so typical Lincoln, because I think he just thought on a different plane. It wasn't so much the obvious or the tangible that was right in front of him. It was always, the next level up with him.
Well, it was, and it's amazing what a great American mind. And I thought on this Thanksgiving Day that it would be good to actually read his proclamation. It's not that long. And he signed it October 3rd in 1863. And, of course, this was in the middle of the Civil War. He said this: "The year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come, others have been added, which are of so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. In the midst of a civil war of unequaled magnitude and severity, which has sometimes seemed to foreign states to invite and to provoke their aggression, peace has been preserved with all nations, order has been maintained, the laws have been respected and obeyed, and harmony has prevailed everywhere except in the theater of military conflict. While that theater has been greatly contracted by the advancing armies and navies of the Union, needful diversions of wealth and of strength from the fields of peaceful industry to the national defense have not arrested the plow, the shuttle, or the ship. The axe has enlarged the borders of our settlements, and the mines, as well of iron and coal as of the precious metals, have yielded even more abundantly than heretofore. Population has steadily increased, notwithstanding the waste that has been made in the camp, the siege, and the battlefield. And the country, rejoicing in the consciousness of augmented strength and vigor, is permitted to expect continuance of years with large increase of freedom. No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, has nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. And I recommend to them that while offering up the ascriptions justly due to him for such singular deliverances and blessings, that they do also with humble penitence for our national perverseness and disobedience, commend to his tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged, and fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of the nation and to restore it as soon as may be consistent with the divine purposes to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union. Steve, that is pretty amazing. I don't think I've ever read the whole thing.
Well, I years ago produced another show, as a client of Crawford instead of working for Crawford. But I had seen that a couple times, and we used it every year when Thanksgiving rolled around. But it's very, very powerful.
Well, and as I think about that, and I know we're going to be talking with Harold a little bit later in the show, but how do you get a Lincoln? I mean, here was a kid who grew up very, very poor, and he loved to read. He read by candlelight. We've heard all of those stories about him. And how do you get from there to what we just read? I mean, the words, the way they come together. It's truly amazing. And here we look at education in 2021 America, and we're looking at teaching our kids critical race theory, which is dividing, teaching some kids they're victims, some kids they're not. I mean, you talk about a victim. Abraham Lincoln grew up very poor and hardly had any books to read. But yet, because he believed in hard work and reading, he was able to get to what we just read.
Well, it has to do with that other plane that he was always thinking about, is what I referred to earlier. But think of the great irony in what you just said. CRT and dealing with CRT in this time and place. But can you say that in the same sentence as mentioning referring to Abraham Lincoln? To me, that's an incredible dichotomy.
Well, and it really is. And that's why with our education system, we have let it become hijacked. We're dumbing our kids down. And many kids, there was a couple of words that I tripped over a little bit here. There are words that I think many of our students today would trip over and not even know what they are. And so as we're looking at a Lincoln, and again, very poor, not many opportunities, but he read extensively. He read the Bible. He read good literature. And then you get to where, where he became president of the United States, where he, was a great thinker. And he wanted to bring the Union together, and he wanted to unite people. And I think we can take a lot of lessons from Abraham Lincoln on this Thanksgiving Day broadcast.
Well, as you're speaking there, I'm thinking of, that I've become consumed with Gettysburg, the Civil War battle at Gettysburg. And there's a scene in there where the North has captured several of the troops from the South. And they're basically having this discussion, before they get shuffled off to wherever they went to. And it was a little bit of, not so much of a debate, but each side representative wanted to clearly state why they were doing what they were doing. And that certainly, it came to play right away about what was at stake, what Lincoln was doing in, executing the war. And, it was a powerful time.
It was a powerful time. And we are certainly in a powerful time here in America as well. But I wanted to, as we're reflecting on Thanksgiving Day and all of our blessings, and they are many. I do want to give a shout out to a dear, dear friend of mine, a neighbor of mine. She's been a neighbor for many, many, many years, and she just passed on in her early 90s, and she was known to us as Jeannie, or to some of the neighborhood kids as Grandma Jean or Miss Jean. And she really lived a remarkable life. And she also was, I think she was abandoned maybe as a child by her mother. And she ended up really being resilient and tough and a fighter, but also had a great love for all of her children, her grandchildren, or her child and her grandchildren, neighbors, neighborhood kids. She gave my kids their first job mowing lawns. She was so patient with them and gave them a basis for a work ethic. And there are people in our lives, Producer Steve, that I think that we want to say thank you to, and we know that our lives are richer and greater because they have touched our lives. And so I want to say rest in peace, my dear friend Jeannie. How about you, Steve? Anybody in your life that you really think about like that?
Well, I think I said earlier in one of our shows earlier this week that I'm surprised at the things that come to mind via memory of my much younger years, and Thanksgiving was always centered on family. We could either bring a whole horde of people to our house, or we were going to someone else's house, but those memories are so clear.
Well, and I agree with you. I have memories like that as a child as well. But I think that in this 2021 America today, there is so much that is going on, and there is a lot of, I think, government-induced stress and government-induced division and government-induced fear, that we have to realize that we're Americans, and we live on, really, we talk about it all the time on America's Veterans Story Show. We live on the shoulders of giants. We live on the shoulders of this great idea that America was founded on, this idea that all men are created equal, with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And these are very noble things to remember as we reflect with friends and family this 2021 Thanksgiving. And then as we look into the future, I think about my friend Jeannie. You talk about a patriot. She was a patriot. She loved the 4th of July. And as we look into the future, we realize that it is very important that we preserve these blessings that we have. We reclaim this American founding that we have so that we can pass on something good to our next generation, because, Steve, that is really the American idea, that we pass on liberty, freedom, something better to our next generation because it was passed on to us.
Well, I think the things that you're alluding to is now it's our turn to help make those memories for our grandkids, right?
That's one of the things for sure.
Okay, well, I know I need to get busy.
Oh, I think you're doing a pretty good job. When we talked about the big leaf pile that you were going to have a big pile and invite the kids over to jump around in them. I loved that.
Tremendous success. And that will be
a memory.
Yeah, a memory, but also repeat performance next year.
Good for you. Good for you. We're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, I am grateful for all of my partners on this show. And one of them is Hooters Restaurants. They do sponsor both of our shows, The Kim Munson Show and America's Veteran Stories. They have five locations, and that is Loveland, Westminster, Aurora, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. And during this holiday season, Christmas, Hanukkah season, I would highly recommend that get together with friends. They have specials for lunch. They have specials for happy hour, all those on Monday through Friday. Be sure and check that out. And, of course, football specials as well. So we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking about Lincoln and Thanksgiving with Lincoln expert Harold Hostler.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. But this is a special day, Thanksgiving Day, and particularly 2021, so much to be grateful for. And I always think of Abraham Lincoln around Thanksgiving because of his proclamation in 1863 for a day of Thanksgiving. And of course, November 19th was the anniversary of the Gettysburg Address. And so on the line with me, I am thrilled to have on the line with me Harold Holzer. He is the winner of the 2015 Gilder Lehrman Lincoln Prize, is one of the country's leading authorities on Abraham Lincoln and the political culture of the Civil War era. He's a prolific writer and lecturer and frequent guest on television. He served for 6 years as chairman of the Lincoln Bicentennial Foundation, and then for the previous 10 years, he co-chaired the U.S. Abraham Lincoln Bicentennial Commission appointed by President Clinton. President Bush awarded Holzer the National Humanities Medal in 2008. Wow. And in 2013, Harold Holzer wrote an essay on Lincoln for the official program at the re-inauguration of President Obama. He is now co-chairman of the Lincoln Forum. If there's anybody who's an expert on President Abraham Lincoln, it's got to be Harold Holzer. Harold, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for so generously inviting me. Glad to be with you.
Well, and it is a really special day, Thanksgiving Day, because in 1863, Abraham Lincoln thought that we should have a day of Thanksgiving. You've done so much research on him. How did he get to that particular point, Harold?
Well, not surprisingly, it took a woman to get him there. he issued Thanksgiving proclamations periodically during the war. After a great Union victory, he would call for a day of Thanksgiving. And by the way, for Lincoln, Thanksgiving days meant fasting, not feasting. They were all about reverence for God and thanks to God for protecting American lives and American troops. So he didn't quite have the idea of the turkey and the stuffing that we do today. Well, it was periodic. Again, it wasn't a permanent day. But a woman named Sarah Josepha Hale was on him for months and months, suggesting that we needed a formal, permanent Thanksgiving Day to give thanks for all of the blessings that America enjoyed. And she was relentless. She can accurately be called, I guess, who do you compare her to? The Anna Wintour of her day, right? Anna Wintour tells all the movie stars what to wear and what not to wear. She's the editor of Vogue magazine. Well, Sarah Josepha Hale was the editor of a magazine called The Godey's Ladies Book. Huh. People around the country who wanted to sew the latest fashion dresses, of course people were making them at home, would read the patterns. I think I'm saying this, I have no clue how to make a dress or even how to read a pattern, but that's what women did. They subscribed to this. It was all powerful in domestic culture. She was also the author of Mary Had a Little Lamb, so she was very famous as a children's writer, too. Anyway, he finally gave up resisting her importunings and suggestions, and he agreed the last Thursday of November would be it every year. And that's the real story of the first Thanksgiving. It had nothing to do with Native peoples and corn. It had to do with Abraham Lincoln and Sarah Josepha Hale.
Well, and it was in 1863, so that was in the throes of the Civil War, correct?
Yes. Lincoln had just come back, as you mentioned earlier. He delivered the Gettysburg Address on the 19th, came home, and was actually quite ill. I know communicable diseases are much on our minds these days and have been for a couple of years. He came down with a mild case of smallpox called varioloid. He caught it from his little boy, by the way, which is like what we're going through today with children and parents and grandparents. But he caught it from his boy, Tad, who was very sick. And Lincoln caught it on the train going back to Washington from Gettysburg. So it was probably not a great Thanksgiving for him if he even got out of bed. He was in bed for a couple of weeks.
Okay.
With this.
Well, and he
One quick story. He had a really bad rash and was, you know, contagious. And his secretaries came into his bedroom and said, "Mr. President, news of your illness has gotten out, but we still have people who are coming to the office asking for favors, asking for pardons, asking for federal jobs." And Lincoln, who had a rash on his face at that point, said, "Well, bring them all in here. Now I have something I can give everybody."
Speaking of that, Harold, my understanding is that Abraham Lincoln had quite a wit, just like that, just as that example.
He did. And having just come back from Gettysburg myself for the anniversary of the Gettysburg Address, all the pomp and circumstance that they do every year, there's a great story that some of us were telling, that Lincoln was representing a woman who had killed her husband with a log from the fireplace because he had been abusive. He was hitting her. She had taken it for 40 years. She was a 75-year-old woman, and yet they put her on trial. There was no spousal abuse clause in murder trials those days. And they were losing the trial. So Lincoln said, we need an adjournment. He took her into an adjoining room. And she said, "Mr. Lincoln, I'm upset. I'm very thirsty. Can you get me a glass of water?" Thereupon, she vanished. She was nowhere to be found. And the judge and the bailiff came in and said, "Mr. Lincoln, what has happened to the defendant? What's happened to your client?" And he said, "Well, she asked where one could get a good glass of water, and I told her Tennessee." And that was the last anyone saw of his client. She was never seen again in Illinois.
Oh, my. And that was when he was an attorney. Tell us just a little bit about Lincoln the boy.
Well, they did exaggerate the hardscrabble, challenging nature of his boyhood. You know, he was born in a very small cabin, not much bigger than a living room in a middle-class home, probably smaller, with a dirt floor. He didn't have a wooden floor until a stepmother arrived who insisted on it. He lost his mother at the age of 6, and as far as traumas are concerned, his father was a carpenter of sorts, so this little boy was obliged to help nail the lid on the coffin of his beloved mother. And that's a hard thing to get past and a horrible vision to live with as a child. His father then abandoned him and his sister for about 3 months in the middle of the prairie to look for another wife. And when the stepmother returned, she found him kind of like a ragamuffin, a wild child, she said. She had to bathe the children, give them new clothes. She brought furniture. She brought books. And at last he was exposed to reading, which he, of course, adopted so enthusiastically for the rest of his life. But the beginnings were terrible. I mean, cold in winter, hot in summer. Schools were sort of revolving, itinerant schools. A teacher would come by and teach for a month or two and then leave and go to another community. And he only had a year of schooling altogether in his entire childhood. And, of course, was obliged to do physical work. One of the reasons farmers had big families in the early 19th century is so that everybody could work. The boys in the fields, the girls, you know, cooking and cleaning, obviously very gender directed in those days. But Thomas Lincoln only had one son and one daughter. And Lincoln was obliged to work from the time he could hold a hoe or an axe, and he didn't like it and preferred to read. So he also had a very difficult relationship with his demanding father that never really healed. So I would say it was tough. And how does a Lincoln emerge from that? That's one of the great mysteries of history.
Well, that's the question on the table that I want to ask you. We're going to go to break. I'm talking with Harold Holzer, and he is an expert on Lincoln. And we're talking about Abraham Lincoln this Thanksgiving Day. And I'm so grateful for all of these great sponsors that I get to work with. And before we go to break, I want to chat with Karen Levine. She is an award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance. and has really, I think, been our first sponsor. You've been with us for a long time, Karen. You are so valued. And as I look at Thanksgiving on this Thanksgiving Day broadcast, I am so grateful that I get to work with really great people, and you're tops among that list.
Well, thank you very much. That would be something I would be grateful for, is to be a part of the Kim Munson Show and American Veteran Stories. It's been a great journey. We've learned a lot along the way, and I feel really blessed to be a part of, you know, this endeavor with you.
Well, and you and I have been friends for a long time, and as we're thinking about Thanksgiving, and of course we're doing this feature on Lincoln with Professor Holzer, in Lincoln, in the middle of the Civil War, he does this proclamation of Thanksgiving. I mean, the country was being torn apart at that time, and he really kind of reclaimed our roots on that. And we just recently did a show on the Gettysburg Address, and he gave the address on November 19th. The battle was fought July 1 through July 3, and I see so many divine providence, divine things on this. I find it ironic that the Gettysburg battle was July 1 to July 3. And then the next day is the 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lincoln, when they are dedicating the battlefield on November 19th, then shortly thereafter, there's the Thanksgiving proclamation. So many different things that occurred. And so to bring these stories to our listeners is so important, Karen. And again, just so much to be grateful for.
And there is a lot to be grateful for. And yet it is interesting that in many regards, we feel being torn apart as a nation, our values being diminished, many of our rights being challenged. But with that in the background or in the foreground, we can say, let's take a day and have gratitude for what we have. And I, as many, are very grateful for family, for friends, grateful for a God that takes care of us, and grateful to live in this beautiful place of Colorado as we have had the most amazing fall.
It's been gorgeous.
Absolutely stunning. Yeah. And the fact that we are blessed to be able to put food on our tables.
Yes, and we have taken for granted how easy that's been. Now, all of us have done some prior proper planning to make sure that this works. And I really do feel that we're going to reclaim this American idea. This is at very challenging times, but we've been here before. The country was divided, and Lincoln did the speech, "A house divided cannot stand," and that's biblical. Christ said that mm-hmm. as well. So we need to do things to bring us together, and that's one of the reasons that we do the Kim Munson Show, is to help people get their brains around these issues. We search for truth and clarity, look at the issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom, and that's what we really need to do, is search for this foundational truth. So Karen Levine, it is always great to have you on the show. It's great to have you as a sponsor. What's kind of your final thought that you'd like to leave with our listeners on this Thanksgiving Day broadcast?
Well, I would say, as we think about gratitude and thankfulness, one thing that I am very grateful for is the ability to help people become homeowners, or to meet their homeowner dream, their housing dream, their real estate dream, whether that is buying a home for their family and having shelter, or whether that is investing in real estate to provide housing for others.
And income for the investor.
Right, exactly. And I think it's an opportunity that we have in America that we want to continue to protect. And I have the honor of doing that as a director for the National Association of Realtors, of which I'm also very grateful to have that position and opportunity. So a lot to be grateful for. Love the challenges that life puts our way, because that means it just allows us to bring our best self forward and grow, become better at what we do, hopefully.
Well, for sure on that. So, Karen Levine, thank you so much. Wishing you and yours a very happy Thanksgiving. That phone number is 303-877-7516. We'll be right back with Professor Holzer.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3, here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
Glory, glory, hallelujah.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support our independent voice. And another one of those great sponsors that I have that keeps our voices out there is Kirsch Insurance Group. They are experts in the Medicare arena, and we're currently in what's called this open enrollment period, which runs from October 15th through December 7th, where you can make changes for your next year plan. Now, I think it's goofy that the government only says you have this certain amount of time, but that's what they say. And so set yourself up for success. Reach out to Kirsch Insurance Group at iKirsch, that's iKirsch.com, iKirsch.com, and set up a complimentary appointment, either by phone or in person, with Marlon, Danielle, Naomi, all the people over there, and they can set you up for success. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. Wishing you a very blessed Thanksgiving. I'm so thrilled to have on the line with me Harold Holzer, and he is an expert on Lincoln. And there's a question on the table, Harold, I want to ask you. But in the first segment, I had given this quote that's attributed to Lincoln, and I never heard it before, and I thought it was just lovely. It says, "We can complain because rose bushes have thorns, or rejoice because thorn bushes have roses." That just stopped me in my tracks as I was thinking about this Thanksgiving Day.
It's beautiful. And Lincoln often used plant life and animal life to make points that he wished to make in the simplest terms. As he always put it, he wanted his quotes to be understood by everyone in the country, not just by intellectuals, not just by journalists. And it reminded me, the quote you read, of another quote he said. He said he hoped it would always be said of him that he plucked a thorn and planted a flower where he could.
Wow.
So I guess he was thinking about rose bushes more than we knew.
Well, and to that point, Harold, he was an amazing communicator. So we've just celebrated the anniversary of the Gettysburg Address. You've just been there at Gettysburg. And, of course, the battle was, let's see, July 2 through July 4, right?
Yes. I think July 1 to July 3.
July 1 to July 3. Okay. And so we got into the 4th of July, and here this battle had just finished. And then there were all of these dead that needed to be buried, and so you get to November 19th, the dedication of the battleground of all those that died. And the previous speaker, Edward Everett, is that right?
Edward Everett, who spoke for 2 hours.
2 hours, and then Lincoln gets up, and the Gettysburg Address is less than 2 minutes. My understanding is that there's no pictures of him giving the address because the photographer said, "Oh, the light's not quite right." Took his camera down. By the time he got it set back up, Lincoln was done. It's pretty remarkable what happened that day, and the weather was terrible, right?
Well, you know, I've read so many descriptions of the weather that are totally at variance. It's cold. It's hot. It's cloudy. It's Indian summer. So at this point, I think we're never going to know. I can tell you that last week, when I got to Gettysburg, it was pouring. Then it was 39 degrees, and then 2 days later, it was 70. So it reminded me of Chicago. If you see the sun is shining, bring an umbrella because you just don't know. And we don't know for sure about Gettysburg. But you're absolutely right. He spoke for 2 minutes. The photographer should have known, take your picture while you can. But he waited for the right moment, and it never came. So the only pictures we have of Lincoln are from a great distance. From when he arrives and when he arrives on the grandstand there.
Did he write the Gettysburg Address kind of on a napkin, or how did that come to be?
That was a rumor, that was a myth that was started by Andrew Carnegie, of all people, who not only said he wrote it on an envelope on the train, but that he was the porter on the train who handed him the pencil. Actually, Lincoln did a lot of work on it back in Washington. 11 days before the event, someone said, have you finished the speech? And he said, almost, and it's short, short, short. So he was at work on it. And then when he got to Getty, he might have worked on it on the train, who knows, but when he got, he was not good writing on trains, by the way. We have one manuscript of a speech that he wrote 3 years before that, 2 years before that, on a train, and it rocked, 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 and then you see a different handwriting, his secretary. So I assume he gave it to his secretary because he didn't want to get nauseated by writing on the train. So he wrote the final draft the night before the speech in the home of a local judge, that was the manuscript he read from at the cemetery.
Well, and somebody told me that Everett's speech was maybe more divisive, where Lincoln's speech, there was no blaming. It was really mm-hmm. something to kind of bring people together, no throwing stones at one side or the other.
And by the way, that was his way. Even if you go up another year and a half to his second inaugural, which was a moment of huge triumph, what did he say? He said, malice toward none and charity for all. And slavery is a sin that was committed not only by Southerners but by Northerners, and it's our collective national sin. So yes, he was always speaking of reunification, even in the terrible days of war. I would say, if I had to characterize Everett's speech, which I must say, in 45 years of writing about Lincoln, I think I've read it once, and you get the feeling once was enough. I would say it was just boring. It was historical. You know, he's comparing things to the Romans, the Greeks, the Peloponnesians, and then Lincoln comes up and gives what's essentially a prayer. Dedicating ourselves to this unfinished work. We're a government of, by, and for the people. It's just beautiful. I don't know if people got it when they heard it. And, of course, in an outdoor crowd, you don't know who hears and who's just there to say I was there. But it was printed in every newspaper, so people did get to read it. And now it's just part of the American story. It's etched on the Lincoln Memorial for a reason. It's because it's etched on the national soul.
Wow, now that's beautiful. Harold, how do you get from a young boy, and when you mentioned that his father left them, my understanding is he was like 10 years old and he had a little sister and his father left them in winter to fend for themselves. It's pretty remarkable.
No, today you would call Child Protective Services, to be sure, right? You can't do that. But, you know, his long-range plan was not bad because he found a widow woman that he had known, years before. And I guess it wasn't a very romantic courtship. She was widowed, he was widowed, and he said, let's hook up, or words to that effect. And she came back into his life, and she was the great influence on him. She had a Bible. She had a volume of Aesop's Fables, something that he could latch onto and learn. And she would encourage her husband to let him read. Don't push him. Don't let him waste his life. We want him to be better than us. That's what's part of a great American tradition that he represents, that every parent wants for their children to have greater opportunity and greater success. I don't know if we still have that expectation in America, but they did then.
Well, I hope that we reclaim that here in America. And rather remarkable, she was not the ugly, mean stepmother then, was she? She really loved him, yes?
Not only was she not, it's not a Cinderella story, she really favored him over her own son. Her own son was a ne'er-do-well, spent the rest of his life borrowing money from Lincoln and maybe not give. He would send money to his stepmother and the son would appropriate it. So, the stepmother saw something in him right away. Bless her. She knew that this was not an ordinary boy. When you talk about the journey that made him Lincoln, people have been asking about that for decades. How did he become what he became? And I just think it's one of the great mysteries of life, why did he have talent? Why was he you know, touched by God or by something that we can't, if we could reproduce it, we'd do it, right? It's just, I used to work for a New York politician who had a mother who was born in Europe, and when he got upset and he said, what will we do in the future, his mother would say, don't worry, tomorrow a pope may be born. And that's just a faith that there will always be another leader who emerges. We just don't know who it is yet and how they'll be nurtured and educated and inspired.
Well, and Harold, as you're mentioning this, there's something that through the founders' reading, and when I say read, I mean reading great books, reading great literature, reading things that make you think. Now we're so bombarded with so much on social media and the internet and all of the, there's so much out there to read, but I think being discerning in our reading, and if you do that, you can become wise. And I think that we kind of forget that in this society today.
Well, Lincoln certainly believed in reading and working hard. You know, work, work, work is the main thing. That's what he told students. That's what he told aspiring lawyers. You have to keep reading and learning. And I agree with you that social media should be educating us more instead of, requiring less communication, fewer words. The other great difference, now that we're getting depressed about the state of things, is that Lincoln lived in an isolated world and always sought groups and communities. He kept expanding his reach. He went from this isolated cabin to New Salem, Illinois, with a group of 200 people. And he made himself immensely popular. And then when he was 28 years old, he moved to the state capital, Springfield, Illinois, where he became a successful lawyer and an emerging, a better politician, a kinder politician, a better writer. But he spoke to communities of men and always engaged in groups. I think my big worry today is that people are sitting and talking on their phones, even... You know, the worst thing I see is going out to restaurants in New York and seeing families sitting at a dinner table, each member of the family on his or her own iPhone. Lincoln was forced into communities, and I wish we could find a way to force ourselves back into communities today.
Well, and sense of community, I think, is really important. And that's fascinating. I hadn't really thought about him continuing to expand his community as he did that. But Harold Holzer, this is absolutely fascinating on this Thanksgiving Day broadcast. Greatly appreciate the conversation. We're going to go to break. When we come back, I'd like to talk with you about your recent book. And that is, I've got the title here. Where did I put that exactly? Oh, gosh. Harold, here we go. The President.
Yeah, should I fill in?
Yeah.
The Presidents versus the Press.
Right. The Endless Battle Between the White House and the Media, from the Founding Fathers to Fake News. And I have a fascinating conversation. So we'll talk about that when we come back. Before we do that, though, another great sponsor of the Kim Munson Show and America's Veteran Stories with Kim Munson is Castlegate Knife and Tool, family-owned business located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. And they have all kinds of inventory for this Christmas Hanukkah shopping season. And so whether or not you're buying for a chef or for a sportsman or a collector, Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place for you. They have some of these new, beautiful, handmade wooden cutting boards, which would be a lovely gift. So be sure and check that out. Their website is castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. We'll be right back with Harold Holzer.
Life is more than what we have in the bank. Mary Alpers and Steve Cruz with 3 Points Financial understand that comprehensive financial planning is an important component for each individual to thrive and prosper. 3 Points Financial provides tax, investment, and retirement planning so that you can achieve your financial independence. With so much public policy uncertainty, it is important to have the professionals at 3 Points Financial working for you to navigate those uncharted waters. Check out 3pointsfinancial.com to schedule your initial consultation to achieve your financial freedom. That's 3pointsfinancial.com.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
His truth is marching on.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We so greatly appreciate that. And on this Thanksgiving Day broadcast, we're talking with Harold Holzer, and he is an expert on Lincoln, very impressive. He's currently the co-chairman of the Lincoln Forum now, and I've learned things about Lincoln that I did not know. But Harold, you've written a book, The Presidents Versus the Press, The Endless Battle Between the White House and the Media, From the Founding Fathers to Fake News. So I thought this was something new that had occurred, but it's not, huh?
It's not, and I sort of wrote it because I earlier had written a book about Lincoln in the press, and of course, press coverage of presidents and candidates was so much on our minds that I thought I would investigate where the tension between presidents and journalists started. And to my surprise a bit, I started the book by saying the first president to complain about fake news was the first president. George Washington did not get along with the press that criticized him, and they excoriated him. They called him a traitor. They claimed that he stole that he padded his expense account, that he demanded that people celebrate Washington's birthday, that he had shot innocent people after they surrendered in the French and Indian War, and on and on and on. And I think he didn't run for a third term, not because he wanted to establish a tradition of two-term presidents, but because he couldn't stand them anymore. So and on it went, a partisan press, through Jefferson, Jackson, Adams, both Adamses, and of course Lincoln closed down newspapers that opposed his fight against secession. So, we think we live in a time that is totally unique and terrible and partisan, and the journalists are out of control and the presidents are too mean to the journalists. It really is part of the American story. And it may not be a great way to learn about government, but it's our way, and it's not new, as you say.
Well, and that reminds me of a quote that I think has been attributed to Thomas Jefferson, maybe it's Mark Twain, but it says, if you don't read the newspaper, you are uninformed. If you do read the newspaper, you're misinformed.
It sounds like Jefferson. But Jefferson was quite the hypocrite about the press. I mean, he also said, if I had to choose between a free press and a free government, I would choose a free press without government, or government without a free press, I would choose the free press. Well, that was all well and good, but when he was president, he didn't really want there to be a free press if it criticized him. And he ended his life saying, they asked him when he was in his 80s, what, do you still read the newspapers? And he said, "I the only newspaper I read is the Richmond paper, and only the advertisements, because that's the only true thing that you can find in the press."
So I guess this is nothing new.
It is nothing new. And, of course, John Adams signed and enforced a federal law to that would make it a crime, a federal crime, to ridicule the president.
Really?
And he actually endorsed trials, and journalists were tried and thrown in prison in several states, who merely made fun of John Adams. So we have been through much worse than we have now, and much worse than we did during the Trump administration. It is a classic battle, and maybe in the long run, if you could see through all of the smoke to the eternal flame here, the good news is that each system keeps the other in check.
Well, that's the goal for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
So, question, you mentioned Lincoln and newspapers. It made me think about when he got rid of habeas corpus. And that's always concerned me, Harold. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, there are several new books on this, and there are some who criticize him and say, under no circumstances should American liberty be taken away or suspended. His argument was, to save the Constitution, to save American freedom, I have to restrict some of its guarantees because we are in the midst of a genuine armed rebellion. And the Constitution does say that the privileges of the writ of habeas corpus may be suspended in time of rebellion. And Lincoln believed that extended to disloyal newspapers, not opposition papers, not just because they were Democrats, but if they said people shouldn't enlist, if they said secession was legal. Lincoln did, you know, his administration, his army, his State Department did arrest editors and close down newspapers. And I guess it's easy to say in hindsight that he overstepped his bounds and we could have saved the Union without those measures. But he had a quaint way of putting it. We spent an earlier segment talking about his very quaint way of expressing himself. One of the things he said is, they said, he was defending the idea of suspending a part of the Constitution in order to save the whole Constitution. And he put it this way. He said, you would always amputate a leg to save a body, but you would never kill the body to save a leg. Hmm. So Lincoln amputated the leg, and not permanently, as we know. He took away the right of the rights we enjoy under habeas corpus in order to save the entire Constitution and the government. And he's taken a hit for it among many scholars, but I think he had no other choice.
Well, and to that point, what we see many times is that when I call them PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties, take power, that they don't like to give it back. But he did give back the power on this, correct?
Yes. He gave back most of it. Of course, he died only 6 days after Robert E. Lee surrendered at Appomattox, so he still had more work to do. But he did. He had another homey expression based on that whole theory. How do we know, Mr. Lincoln, that you're going to restore these privileges and these rights? And he said, well, these suspensions are an emetic. An emetic, of course, is a kind of medicine that would administer to sick people to make them throw up. He said, this is an emetic. No one uses an emetic if they don't have to. And once this war is over, we won't need an emetic to save our health. And that's how he put it. And I have no doubt that he would have restored the full constitutional order of things. As he said, I've sworn to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution with my oath. And that's what I intend to do, even if I have to suspend some of its guarantees in order to do it.
It's remarkable, as you're talking about Lincoln, and people, I think, must have trusted him. Was he truly a man of his word? That is one of the things that we hear about him, all the Honest Abe. Is that, would you say that that's accurate as well?
You know, I think it's a nickname that he really earned as a young man. Whether, you know, he ruined a book, he kept it under his roof, and a book got warped. So he went to tell the owner and agreed to work on his farm until the value of the book could be recompensated. He gave someone too little change when he was a storekeeper in New Salem and hiked after her for miles to give the proper change back. When he served briefly in the state militia during an Indian war in Illinois, he was the one they always chose to referee wrestling matches or horse races because they knew he would get an honest count. I don't think anyone, even his opponents, ever doubted his integrity. Was he a tough politician? Did he play rough with his opponents? Absolutely. But he was extremely fair and principled. And I don't know if we've ever seen the likes of it in the American story.
Well, it did make me think of, I've always been interested in the fact regarding the Constitution, and in order to get it ratified, James Madison promised that there would be the Bill of Rights. And I find it remarkable that the states did go ahead and ratify, and yes, there was a Bill of Rights. Here was a politician who actually kept his promise. And then talking about Lincoln, that is something that's remarkable with both of those men, Harold.
And I will say, since you've come back again to the Constitution. I would say here is one thing that he was maybe less than honest about, or at least not frank about, but it ended for the greater good. And that is, he said at the beginning of the war that he was interested only in restoring the American Union. And he sent off the first boys to fight for that principle. It was not about ending slavery. And yet, by late 1862, a year and a half in, he came to the conclusion that the only way to win, to save the Union, would be to end slavery as well. And in the last days of his life, he fought to get the 13th Amendment to the Constitution ratified so that slavery would be ended forever and everywhere, not just in the Confederate States. So that's one thing he did sort of at least expand what his vision was. But at least he was frank with people. He said, we could not win the war and keep slavery alive, and so slavery will die so the nation can live.
It is remarkable. Harold Holzer, this has been such a fascinating conversation for this Thanksgiving Day. We're just about out of time. What's the final thought that you'd like to leave with our listeners?
I think the final thought is that Lincoln, in his two greatest speeches, talked about government of, by, and for the people. And he also talked about a government devoted to malice toward none and charity for all. And if we're going to remember the father of Thanksgiving on this Thanksgiving Day, maybe we can make a pledge to ourselves and each other that those are goals that we can still pursue.
Well, and they are. They're such important goals. And in some ways, I think they're unique to this whole American idea. And we really need to reclaim this with malice towards none. It is words that we certainly could use in this 2021 Thanksgiving Day, Harold Holzer.
Thank you. I agree, and I wish everyone a wonderful holiday.
Well, I do as well, and greatly appreciate the conversation with Harold Holzer. And as we reflect upon this Thanksgiving Day, there is so much to be grateful for. We are so blessed. And I think in some ways, this whole COVID-19 Wuhan China virus reaction disruption, we've realized how blessed we are here to live in the United States of America and how blessed we are to live with freedom and liberty as well. And so I wish to each and every one of you with your families a very blessed Thanksgiving. And we're going to end the show here with a quote from Abraham Lincoln. And he said, "Sir, my concern is not whether God is on our side. My greatest concern is to be on God's side, for God is always right." And I think as we talked to Harold with Lincoln reading the Bible as a young boy, we can see that he had great faith in our Lord, and he certainly talked about that. So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.